Now, in a cloudy sky, a brilliant ray of light fills our view. It disappears as a Pegasus gallops toward us, its wings outstretched. Words appear. TriStar, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. Now, a plump, gray-haired woman opens her apartment door.
I'm just going to get some flowers, dear. I'll be back in 20 minutes. It's tulip season today. And I'm oh so happy.
As she steps out and looks across the hall, she mouths, son of a...
Come on, sweetie.
A man in his 60s stands at the elevator holding the door open and clapping his hands. Credits appear. TriStar Pictures present a Gracie Films production.
Come on now, sweetheart. Come on.
He bends down and coaxes a small dog.
Go for a little ride, then you can whiz all over the city.
The dog takes a few steps back. It stands beside a wall and lifts its leg.
Come on. Come on, sweetie. No! Freeze! Freeze! Leg down, leg down, leg down, leg down.
The dog lowers its leg and looks up at the man who backs toward the elevator. The dog lifts its leg again.
Come on now, come on. No, you monkey!
He picks it up.
You have pissed your last floor.
He holds the dog out in front of him and a stream of urine squirts from it.
Real you dog-eared monkey.
He puts the dog in a trash chute.
This is New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
More credits. Jack Nicholson is Melvin Udall. Helen Hunt is Carol. Greg Kinnear is Simon. A film by James L. Brooks, As Good As It Gets.
Verdell!
Uh-oh.
The man heads off as a young man exits his apartment.
Verdell? Where's my good doggy?
The young man searches Verdell? The hallway.
Come here, sweetheart.
He spots his older neighbor.
Mr. Udall?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Verdell?
What does he look like?
My dog. You know, my dog with a little face, little adorable face. Don't you know what my dog looks like?
Oh, I got it. You were talking about your dog. I thought it was the name of that colored man that I've been seeing in the halls.
Which color was that?
Thick molasses, with a broad nose. Perfect.
Frank, just a second.
Trouble in prison food.
What is it? Frank!
A bald black man.
You have got to get dressed.
Frank Sachs, Melvin Udall.
How you doing?
Frank shows my work, Mr. Udall. I think you know that.
People are going to start coming.
What
please.
I know is as long as you keep your work zipped up. Around me, I don't give a rat crap what or where you shove your show.
Are we done being neighbors for now?
As Melvin grins, his eyebrows lift into pointy arches. Frank starts toward him.
Let me talk to you. No. Not worth it. Definitely not worth it for Delma's friendly apartment.
Simon ushers Frank back inside and shoots a pained look at Melvin.
Hope you find him. Love that dog.
You don't love anything. Mr. Udall.
Melvin bows his head with a smug smile. Simon lifts his chin and swaggers back to his apartment. Now Melvin enters his apartment. He closes the door and turns a deadbolt lock back and forth 5 times, then does the same to a second lock. He flips a light switch on and off.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He walks into the bathroom and flips the light
1, 2, 3,
on and off.
4, 5.
He takes off a pair of leather gloves and tosses them into the trash. Rolling up his sleeves, he steps before the sink and opens his medicine cabinet. Dozens of bars of soap are stacked neatly inside. Melvin takes one and unwraps it. Steam rises from water pouring from the faucet as he washes his hands.
Hot.
He throws the barely used bar into the trash and takes another from the medicine cabinet. Under the steaming water, he washes his hands with the new bar and throws it away. Now, in Simon's apartment, nicely dressed people mingle. Frank approaches two men, one of them balding.
Oh, I really like it.
Oh, Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Frank. So where is he?
He's here, isn't he? He lives here. Take it easy. He just had a little thing with the dog.
First of all, it's not such a hot-looking dog.
He's adorable.
Where are you going, Frank? Come by.
At the door, an old man holds Verdell. Simon spots him.
Ben,
Simon takes Verdell.
Oh, look at my boy. Look at him.
Verdell licks Simon's lips, and Simon gives him kisses.
Yeah, I found him, Mr. Bishop.
I know you did.
We know you did. Where was my little baby? Where was my baby? In the basement garbage bin eating diapers.
Simon wipes his mouth. Nearby, the balding man Carl squirms.
Go ahead, John. You earned your fun.
Sorry, just cut me.
Wait.
How did he get down in the basement? I mean, even if he got in the elevator, huh?
Maybe some nice neighbor shoved him down the garbage chute?
Now, in Melvin's apartment, he sits at a computer.
Somewhere in the dark, she had confessed, and he had forgiven. This is what you live for, he said. Two heads on a pillow, where all is approval, and there is only the safety of being with each other. How, she wondered, could she find such hope in the most shameful part of her? At last, she was able to define love. Love was...
Mr. Udo, I'd like to speak to you, please.
Let me do this by myself.
Simon and Frank wait at Melvin's door.
Love was...
Are you in there?
Son of a bitch!
Pansy-ass tool pusher.
He opens the door.
Yes!
Maybe this can wait. I found Verdell, Mr. Udall.
Melvin pauses. Simon levels his glistening eyes on him.
Well, that's a load off.
Uh-huh. Did you do something to him?
Do you realize that I work at home?
No, I wasn't aware.
Do you like to be interrupted when you are nancing around in your little garden?
No, I actually will turn the ringer off of my phone and sometimes put a piece of card.
Well, I work all the time. So never, never interrupt me, okay? Not if there's a fire. Not even if you hear the sound of a thud from my home. And 1 week later, there's a smell coming from there that can only be a decaying human body. And you have to hold a hanky to your face because the stench is so thick that you think you're gonna faint. Even then... don't come knocking. Or if it's election night and you're excited and you want to celebrate because some fudge packer that you date has been elected the first queer president of the United States and he's going to have you down to Camp David and you want someone to share the moment with, even then, don't knock. Not on this door. Not for any reason. Do you get me, sweetheart?
Simon nods meekly.
Yes. It's not a subtle point that you're making.
Okay, then.
Melvin turns away, slamming the door on Simon. Simon runs his hand through his blonde hair and turns to Frank.
So the theory of confrontations is now think twice before messing with me.
Frank watches Simon walk away. Now Melvin sits at his computer wearing glasses.
All right. Love was... love was...
A smile spreads across his lips.
Now I am really pissed!
As he opens his door, Frank pulls him into the hall.
Don't touch! Don't touch!
Shut up!
You think you can intimidate the whole world with your attitude, but you don't intimidate me. I grew up in hell, homeboy. My grandmother had more attitude.
Police! Donut munching morons! Help me! Help me! Help me! Assault and battery, and you're black!
I like Simon! I like him enough to batter you unrecognizable if you verbally abuse him or so much as touch that dog again.
Frank takes a deep breath and collects himself.
Meantime, I'm gonna think of some way that you can make it up to him. I paid doing this! I'm an art dealer. Have a nice day.
He walks off.
Hey, party! Party!
Gaping, Melvin leans against the wall. Daytime. Slender, leafy branches stretch out in front of a building's brick facade. Melvin exits the building and heads down the sidewalk, weaving between other pedestrians on the crowded street. He holds his hands up as two women walk toward him.
Excuse me.
Whoop, don't touch. Don't touch.
Get a life.
Melvin's feet step carefully over the cracks in the sidewalk.
Watch.
Don't touch.
Hey.
With his eyes on the ground, Melvin approaches a cafe. Inside, a blonde waitress serves a woman with two children.
Look at you. You're all better, huh?
That new medication.
So you know all my son's stuff, right? No. I got a date tonight. I'm walking out the door. He says to me, Mom, I promise not to get one of my fevers or coughs during your date.
Isn't that sweet?
Little blonde angel.
Melvin approaches a table occupied by a couple.
You love me the way you love your remote control, as long as I switch every time you press one of my buttons.
Great.
That's terrific.
I think people that talk in metaphors ought to shampoo my crotch.
Now at the waitress station.
Eat up.
Good. Stay there. I've got your money.
Now you pay me next week.
No, I owe you. I told you today. That's the rule.
Melvin approaches.
Excuse me, Melvin. Yeah.
Squeezing past him, she puts her hands on his hips. He watches as she waits on a customer.
There you go. You take care.
Thank you.
As she heads back, Melvin stands in her way.
Pardon me.
She squeezes past him again.
Pardon me. Take the money. Debts make me crazy.
This way you take a cab home so you have time to get ready for the date.
Ready is not my problem.
I'm starving.
Ryan! Go on. Sit down. You know you're not allowed back here. Spencer's more excited about it than I am. He says, Mom, I promise not to get a...
Melvin walks around to the other side of the waitress station and sticks his face in hers.
I've got Jews at my table.
It's not your table. It's the place's table. Behave. This once you can sit at someone else's station. Or you can wait your turn.
As the blonde leaves, the other waitresses glare at Melvin. Now, Melvin approaches the couple at his table.
I'm glad that you sort of let him go.
You have feelings.
Well, yes.
You're telling me.
How much more you got to eat?
The couple stares at Melvin, then turns back to each other.
Hey, what?
Appetites aren't as big as your noses, huh?
What?
Across the room, the manager shakes his head.
I don't care how many people buy his books. Come on.
I'm going to talk to give him one more chance.
Bard for life.
Here I go.
As the couple heads out the door, Melvin takes their table and removes his sunglasses. The waitress, Carol, approaches with a smile. He shrugs.
They left.
Yeah, what do you know? Brian says he doesn't care how long you've been coming. You ever act like this again, you're barred for life. I'm going to miss the excitement, but I'll handle it.
Melvin removes plastic utensils from a bag.
Three eggs over easy. Two sausage, six strips of bacon with fries.
Fries today.
A short stack, coffee with cream and sweetener.
You're going to die soon with that diet, you know that.
Yeah, we're all gonna die soon. I will, you will, and it sure sounds like your son will.
Carol freezes. Her burning stare fixes on Melvin as he adjusts his plastic utensils in front of him. His eyes shift, and he looks up at her uncomfortably, then back down at the table. Carol continues to glare.
If you ever mention my son again... You will never be able to eat here again. Do you understand?
Melvin's face tenses and his hands nervously hover over his plasticware. Carol slides next to him into the booth.
Give me some sign you understand. Or leave now. Do you understand me? You crazy.
Melvin peers at her out of the corner of his eyes.
Do you?
He looks down and nods slightly.
Yes.
Okay, I'll get your order.
As she walks away, another waitress approaches her.
Why'd you wear my earrings tonight?
Nighttime. Carol and a young man enter a small apartment.
It's just so interesting what you said at dinner. You said it like it was nothing.
He picks her up.
I mean, if you'd...
Where's the bedroom?
This is sort of it. I sort of sleep in here.
He lays her on the couch. Kneeling over her, he takes off his suit jacket and tosses his glasses aside. As the glasses fall on the floor, Carol tries to pick them up.
Don't worry about it.
He lies on top of her and gently kisses her mouth. With their lips locked in a passionate kiss, he runs his fingers through her hair. He kisses her cheek, then her forehead. He licks her forehead, moving slowly across her skin. Carol looks up and gapes. His hand feels along the black fabric over her breast.
What?
I don't know.
He softly rubs his nose against hers and kisses her again.
Grandma! Grandma!
Maybe you better check.
Carol gets up.
What'd you think I was gonna do?
Carol enters a bedroom where an older woman listens to headphones.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mama, I was hearing everything that you were doing, so I put these on to give you privacy. So how was dinner?
Carol's son sits up in bed.
Hey, pal.
How's your friend?
You okay?
Not bad.
He's got a temperature? Scooch over.
She sits next to him.
Where did your friend take you to eat?
Nice place.
Her mom enters.
Carol has him.
Spence throws up in a wastebasket.
Carol.
One more spit?
I said I have him. He's waiting. Go.
She has me.
Okay, pal. Give me a hug.
Carol.
Give me a big hug.
Carol, I have him.
I'm okay, Mom. She has me. Go.
Carol straightens her dress and hair as she heads back toward the living room.
Close the curtains.
Carol pulls the curtains between the kitchen and bedrooms closed. Her date puts a cigarette to his mouth.
No, 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 you can't smoke. You can't take smoke.
He appears to eat the cigarette, then pulls it out from behind his ear.
Magic.
Huh.
Carol stands before her date, who sits up and cups her covered breast. As she leans in for a kiss, he pulls his hand back with a grimace.
Oh, God. Well, that'll teach you. I don't even notice it anymore.
She grabs a towel from the kitchen.
All right, come here.
She wipes off his hand, then rubs it a stain on her dress. As her date stands, holding his hand out in disgust, Carol shrugs with a grin.
It's all right. You don't have to get that embarrassed. It's a little bit of throw up.
A little bit of throw up.
He stares at his hand.
Well, what should we do? Want me to write down which trains you take to get home, or you want to lay down?
No. I'll take a cab.
Carol raises her eyebrows and gapes at him. As he heads toward the door, he turns back to her.
Just a little too much reality for a Friday night.
Carol nods slowly.
I just can't.
Now, Carl drives.
I'm gonna find him a model.
Carl, take me out the speaker. Did I tell you that these are house seats? Come on, you could use a break.
He pulls over.
Hello? Carl? You there? Hello?
Okay, I just found a model.
Carl yells out his car window at three street kids.
Hey, boys!
Oh,
hey!
Hey, look, I know this guy. He even bought me dinner.
Carl, right?
As Carl gets out, the guys approach him.
Hey! What's going on? Hey. Hi. Remember?
I only need one.
He picked me up maybe a few weeks. I don't know, some time ago.
But this is for a portrait. I need a pretty face.
Portrait?
He waves one of them over.
Come here. I'll give you the address. It's for tomorrow morning.
A guy with shoulder-length brown hair and a goatee saunters over.
I don't get it.
Do you read?
Morning. At Simon's place, Verdell runs from an art studio to the adjacent apartment. As the dog scratches at the door, Simon approaches.
Who is that, Verdell?
Simon opens the door, and the street kid stands nervously before him.
I'm sorry. I told you today. Was out in the studio doing work, and I just...
Simon flits his hand above his head.
It's out here.
Sure have great things.
The guy takes off his shirt as he follows Simon.
I usually make such a big deal about picking models, but Carl is so thorough. I bet he drove you nuts checking your resume, huh?
The kid starts to pull down his jeans. Simon turns to him and gapes.
This is not a nude.
He quickly pulls up his pants.
Just kidding around, huh?
He heads back for his other clothes.
So much for now.
Later in Simon's art studio.
And yet another pose.
Exactly what is your previous experience?
How about that?
He bends over. Simon shakes his head.
I'm running out of ideas here.
Well, then give me some direction, okay?
Nothing. I just watch until something strikes me. I mean, do anything that you think of. Wait for me to say, hold that pose, then just try to comfortably hold it.
The kid plops down on an old couch.
No direction.
Okay. What I do is I watch. You ever watch somebody who doesn't know that you're watching them? An old woman sitting on a bus, or kids going to school, or somebody just waiting, and you see this flash come over them. And you know immediately that it has nothing to do with anything external, because that hasn't changed. And when you see it, they're just sort of realer and they're more alive. I mean, you look at someone long enough, you discover their humanity.
The kid's eyes shift.
Wow. No, I know exactly what you mean.
He bashfully tucks his hair behind his ear. Simon watches him.
Oh, my God. Hold it.
Now, on the street, Melvin's feet step over the sidewalk cracks.
Hey, look out!
A bicyclist swerves to avoid him and falls.
Sorry.
So I went
at the cafe.
And I got on the third line of the dialogues.
Carol and her friend walk past Melvin's table.
I had no clue as to what the next line was.
Clippity clop ignores me.
So he said to me, last chance.
Last chance.
So I came back in.
Here she comes to ignore me.
And I messed up in the exact same line. I know. But guess what? What? He cast me! Oh.
Just what the world needs, another actress.
Okay.
Carol glares at Melvin. As she steps over to his table, he wipes his mouth with a napkin.
Can't live without me, huh?
He gives her a childish grin.
I'm finally gonna ask. All right, what's with the plastic picnic wear? Why don't you try ours? Afraid it isn't clean?
You okay?
Yep.
Oh, I see the help. It's a judgment call.
So give yourself a little pep talk. Must try other people's clean silverware as part of the fun of dining out.
She hands him his check.
What's wrong with your son?
Yeah. What do you care?
Melvin looks up at her earnestly. She cocks her head and takes a deep breath.
He's got a fight to breathe. His asthma can just shoot off the charts. He's allergic to dust, and this is New York, so his immune system bails on him whenever there's trouble, so an ear infection...
Melvin squirms.
Is this bothering you?
No.
An ear infection, whatever sends us to the emergency room 5-6 times a month, where I get whatever 9-year-old they just made a doctor.
She shrugs.
Nice chatting with you.
What? His name?
Spencer.
Okay.
Spence.
Carol nods and walks off. Melvin watches her leave with a smile. Now, in Simon's apartment, the street kid, Vincent, scoots Verdell into the studio with him and closes the door. Inside, Simon puts finishing touches on a life-size painting of Vincent. As Vincent comes inside, Simon gestures to the stereo.
You can put anything you want now. I might be sort of done here.
Hey, I've been coming here for 2 weeks, and all we've done is work. Let's play!
Simon waves his arm.
Vincent!
Simon holds his hand to his ear in mock pain. Vincent just smiles and nods. As Simon studies his painting, Vincent paces nervously. Someone walks past a window behind Simon.
So you're practically finished, huh?
Yeah.
There is one more stage.
Inside the apartment, Vincent's buddies shove knickknacks into their bags. Vincent sees them, then turns to Simon.
Where are you going? No place. I was just going to sneak a peek.
Vincent watches nervously as Simon studies the portrait. Verdell turns his head toward the apartment. Inside, the thieves grab a lacquered wooden box. Verdell runs to the door.
Verdell, you want some chocolate?
No, he's not allowed.
Wait,
I gotta take off. Do you want to say goodbye or anything?
Yeah.
I just gotta go. One thing.
No, wait, I'm gonna look at the painting, all right?
Simon opens the door for Verdell, and the dog runs for the apartment door.
Where are you going, sweetheart? Verdell!
Looking down at Verdell, Simon enters the apartment.
Want some water? What is the matter with you? Come on! You want some water?
He looks up and spots the blonde robber. They stare at each other.
Simon, wait!
Vincent rushes in and stops behind Simon. His friend nods to him.
Yeah.
Simon's brows furrow, and he slowly turns to look at Vincent.
Why are you doing this?
Vincent's eyes fill with tears.
No. Wait. See, they're not painting in
there. What are you doing? Losing him?
The Second Street Kid rams a brass hat rack into Simon's guts, then whacks him in the head, knocking him to the floor. As the kid clubs Simon repeatedly, the blonde tries to scoot past his violent friend.
Excuse me. Stop me! No, we gotta go!
The three kids run out, leaving Simon on the floor, unconscious. Verdell stands watching from the outside patio. Now, a police investigator questions Melvin at his door.
Okay, so you call 911 and don't leave your name?
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Even a dumb geezer should know that emergency...
Just Frank exits Simon's apartment with Verdell.
Is he dead?
Ask him.
What's wrong with you?
Don't bark at me. I didn't name you.
We will.
Right in there.
If we can't, we'll come back and ask you. Again and again.
Hey, what are you trying to intimidate me with that attitude? I come from hell. My grandmother's got more attitude than you. Go shake down 7-Eleven for a day old wiener.
It's just a matter of time, sir. There's a painting of one of the guys in here.
Melvin watches as Frank talks with the plump, gray-haired woman.
Oh, I've been praying for him since I heard.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm on my way to the hospital. If you could just watch the dog, just for the night.
Oh, no.
No?
No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No.
Thanks.
Sorry.
She closes her door.
Oh, bitch. Damn dog.
Melvin grins.
You're taking him. Yes! Yes! Get the hell out of the way! You're taking him.
Frank sets Verdell inside Melvin's apartment.
Wait.
You want to say no to me? You want to say no to me?
I don't want to say nothing to you.
Because I've never felt as crazy as I do right now. I almost want you to say no.
Melvin gapes and his brow creases.
Thanks for looking after him.
Frank heads for the elevator.
Hey! Where are you going?
You can't do this!
You don't want to mess with me today! I can't take a dog. Nobody's ever been in here before!
Inside the apartment, Verdell races around.
Hey, Frank! Frank!
The elevator door closes in front of Frank. Melvin turns his bewildered gaze from the elevator to his apartment. Inside, Verdell waits by the door. As Melvin slowly opens it, Verdell runs away. Melvin cautiously steps inside, his eyes darting back and forth. Verdell crawls toward him as Melvin turns the locks. In an adjacent room, Verdell scoots along the rug toward Melvin. His big brown eyes look up at him from under his scruffy fur. Melvin steps further into the apartment and scans the room for the little dog. Verdell scampers out beside him. Melvin turns nervously, then shakes his head at the dog.
You're dead. We don't have no dog food here. We don't want no dog food here. You'll eat what we got, what we eat.
In the kitchen, Melvin takes leftover roast beef and bacon out of the refrigerator and sets them on the counter. As he heads back to the fridge, he shakes a finger at Verdell.
Don't you do anything!
Verdell lies on his stomach and rests his head on his two front paws. Now, Melvin sits at his baby grand piano. Verdell stands before his food dish, which overflows with meat and bacon. He looks from the dish to Melvin, who raises his eyebrows.
Where's the trust?
Melvin casts his gaze downward, then to the piano. Verdell stares at the food from a few feet away.
Never. Dogs.
Melvin faces the piano's keyboard.
Always look at the bright side of your life. Always look at the lighter side of your
line.
Verdell scoots along the rug to his dish and starts to eat. Melvin rests his folded arms on the piano as he watches the dog.
Yeah.
At the hospital, Frank talks on a cell phone.
We haven't sold a single painting. No, we can't reduce the price at this stage.
A short-haired woman approaches him.
Free fall here. Yes.
We can see him.
Okay, I'll meet you in there.
She stares at him.
I will meet you in there. Okay? 1 minute.
She walks off and he returns to his call.
No, I'm here.
Now, Simon holds an ice pack on one side of his face.
How you doing, great one?
I haven't looked at myself yet. I figured I could tell from your reaction.
Two lines of stitches mar his cheek and forehead. The woman sobs.
Not bad, huh?
Okay. I talked to the doctor and...
Simon's eye widens.
Okay, it's not that bad. I talked to the doctors and they say you're going to be your old self in a couple of weeks.
Simon removes the ice pack. His left eye is swollen shut and more stitches mark his nose and forehead. Frank averts his eyes.
Jackie. Yes. Can you hand me a mirror, please?
No.
Jackie turns to Frank, who nods his head. She reaches into her bag and pulls out a pocket-sized mirror.
Wait. I have a smaller one.
Simon shakes his head and reaches for the mirror. Jackie opens it for him. He takes it without looking in it.
Okay. So how are things anyway? I was Verdell.
Your neighbor, Mr. Udo, taking care of him.
How could you do that?
No.
He'll hurt him.
Simon, no, I promise. Not a chance. I own this guy. Besides, there was nobody else. You know, I'm always on the move, and trust me.
You are very certain my dog is okay because you have no idea.
Yes, your dog is fine, Simon.
Okay. Waiting gives the devil time.
Jackie forces a smile through her tears. An IV tube is taped to the back of Simon's hand. As he slowly lifts the mirror, Frank gets to his feet, gazing confidently at his friend. Simon's disfigured reflection shows in the small mirror.
Oh, my.
Looking at his reflection, Simon's open eye fills with tears and his lips quiver.
Where'd I go?
Now, Verdell sits tied to a hydrant outside the cafe.
That's your dog?
No.
He's so tall.
What are you doing with a dog?
Suckered in, set up, pushed around.
You know, worried someone might take it?
Melvin glares at Carol, then gets out of his seat.
Well, not until now, for Christ's sake.
Sorry.
I want to sit here.
He sits at a table facing the street and watches as two kids pet Verdell.
I love his little face. It's so cute.
A gentle smile spreads across Melvin's face. Carol watches with surprise as she brings over his plate.
You know, he's a little dog. Next time, if Brian's not here, you can bring him in.
Melvin gazes into her eyes as she clears off the silverware.
How old are you?
Huh.
If I was going to guess by your eyes, I'd say you were 50.
If I went by your eyes, I'd say you were kind, so... So much for eyes, but as long as you bring up age, how old are you?
Oh, no,
you,
not,
you brought it
in other words,
up. No, I'm curious.
In other words, you're not that you're ugly.
Easy, pal. I can take the compliment. But my knees start knocking when you turn on the charm. Full blast.
No, but I mean, what's with the dark?
Dawn Patrol. Major Dawn Patrol. My son had a full-blown attack, and this time, for extra fun, they gave us the wrong antibiotics.
She clears
so
his plate.
I got him home.
No. The dog. It's bacon for the bacon's for the dog.
He takes out a sandwich bag.
Last week I was playing the piano for him, and he likes it. So I decide I'm...
Carol frowns and fiddles with the check.
Make a little joke.
So you're all set here.
She walks away. Melvin continues to put the bacon in his bag. Now, on the street, he walks with Verdell.
I think it's a beautiful day for our walk today. Very nice.
As Melvin holds Verdell's leash, they both step over the cracks in the sidewalk. Melvin notices it.
Huh?
Hey. Hey.
Look at that. Look at him. I gotta give you something.
Melvin puts on plastic gloves.
Real good, too. I'm gonna show it to you.
He lifts up Friedel so that they're face to face.
Don't be like me. Don't you be like me. You stay just the way you are, because you are a perfect man, and I'm going to take you home and get you something to eat.
Two women pass by.
Oh, I'd like to be treated like that.
I'm
going to
take you home right now and get you something. Yes, let's go home and do some writing.
Now Melvin sits at his computer.
He had made the girl happy, and what a girl. You saved my life, she said. You'd better make it up to me.
Friedel lies on the desk beside him. Melvin raises his arms.
Done. Done. Yes, I hate the doggy. Yes, I hate the doggy. Ooh, 62 books.
At Simon's, done. Jackie and a maid go through his bills.
We have to cut back expenses every place we can.
He has no medical insurance?
No.
Let me see. These are the food receipts here on the household expenses. Here's one for the dog again.
I can read it. I got it.
See it. Okay. There you go. And all the laundry and the cleaners.
Okay, good.
Uh-huh. Frank approaches Melvin's closed door.
Boy, look at that, huh? He likes it. Oh, he likes it, J. Melvin.
What are you coming over here for? I told you to sit here. I can't cook with the dog here. Okay, just sit. Good. We don't want any company. I'll read you a little Ralph Waldo Emerson. Okay, have it your way.
As Frank starts to walk away, Melvin opens the door.
Hey.
Hey.
How's Friedel doing?
You know, he's a pain in the ass.
Well, Simon's home. I was sort of hoping you can keep the dog until he's had a chance to think and adjust.
Oh, well, it's been weeks and weeks. A few more won't matter.
No. He definitely wants him back right away. He'll be by tomorrow.
Melvin nods disappointedly.
Okay. Okay, Bobby?
Inside the apartment, Friedel paces by his food dish. Melvin enters.
Hungry? Be right with you, Pooh.
He closes the door and leans against it with his head bowed, then turns the lock. Melvin takes a step back.
Okay.
He covers his mouth with his hands and takes a few deep breaths. Friedel looks up at him from beside a pink personalized food dish and cocks his head.
Okay.
Melvin lets out a sob, then puts a hand to his lips. Sweat glistens on his neck. Friedel watches and rests his chin on his front paws. He blinks his round, dark eyes. Now, Simon sits in a wheelchair at Melvin's door. He wears a bathrobe and scars mark his healing face. Melvin walks to the door, followed by Friedel.
Mr. Udall.
Melvin opens the door and stares down at Simon.
Some face they left hanging on you. Look like
you... Did you take it? Just... little easy, Mr. Udall.
Melvin nods slightly.
Thank you.
Simon's lips curl into a slight smile.
Friedel? Come here, my beautiful boy. Come here.
Friedel steps
Come
slowly
here, boy.
Toward him.
Let's go home and get well.
Melvin puts him on Simon's lap.
You can't blame him for being weird. Look at yourself in the mirror.
Simon freezes. Melvin waves and Simon nods to him politely.
Thank you.
Simon wheels himself into his apartment.
Come on, sweetheart.
He turns to look at his dog.
Friedel? Come here. Come here, boy.
The maid hands Simon a box of biscuits.
I know what you want.
Simon holds a dog biscuit out for Friedel.
Come on, where's my boy?
Friedel sits by the door. Jackie picks him up and starts to bring him to Simon.
No, no, don't force him.
Simon looks at his dog with a pained gaze. Now Melvin plays his piano. His cheeks are wet with tears as he looks to Verdell's empty dish.
Over a dog. Over an ugly dog.
Now, Melvin hops over several cracks in a fractured sidewalk.
We're a sidewalk in New York. Look where they put it.
He enters a building marked Fifth Avenue Psychiatric Group, then barges into a bearded doctor's office.
Hi.
Help!
If you want to see me, you will not do this. You'll make an appointment.
Dr. Green, how can you diagnose someone as an obsessive-compulsive disorder and then act as though I had some choice about barging in?
There's not going to be a debate. You must listen.
You said you could help me. What was that? A tease?
I can help you if you take responsibility to keep regular
appointments. You changed the room around.
2 years ago. I also regrew my beard, but you're not interested in changes in me.
I don't have this mountain of available time. I have to get to my restaurant on time. Now, do you know how hard it was for me to come here?
Yes.
Melvin starts to sit down.
No, we're not doing this now.
I changed just one pattern, as you always said I should.
No. Nope.
Now, Melvin leaves the office and enters a waiting area where several patients sit. He stops short and looks at the people around him.
What if this is as good as it gets?
Oh.
He leaves, and the waiting patients frown to themselves. Now, in the restaurant, Melvin sits at his table and anxiously takes out a bag with his plastic utensils. A chubby waitress approaches him.
What the heck are those for?
As she takes the bag off the utensils, Melvin glares at her.
No, no, no. Get Carol.
Oh, I'm filling in. We don't know if she's coming back. You know, I think she might be getting a job closer to home.
She picks up the utensils.
Why plastic?
What are you trying to do to me?
What the heck do you mean?
Look, elephant girl, just go get Carol or something, eh? Just have her do my one meal here. I'll pay whatever you want. I'll wait.
The waitress gapes at him. He pounds the table.
Do it!
She heads for the manager, who sits with four cops.
Brian, code blue. Brian.
Oh, no.
Melvin shakes his head as he watches Brian approach.
Out! Just shut up and get out. Do it! I'll be quiet. Just let me stay here. No problem. Go get Carol. Get her here. I'm not a prick. You are. I'm not judging. I'm a great customer. This day has been a disaster. I'm not sure if I can handle this, too.
Get out. Get out immediately, or there's going to be trouble. Man, I mean it.
One of the cops stands up, gripping his billy club. Melvin eyes him, then nods with defeat. Melvin heads toward the door, past cheering customers and staff.
It's about time!
He holds money out for a busboy.
Carol's last name. Conley. Thank you.
Now, a cab drives down a bustling neighborhood street. A boy rides a skateboard on the sidewalk, and two older women chat on a porch.
Does he visit often?
No, not really, not anymore.
What can you do?
Now, the cab sits parked on the street as Melvin exits onto the sidewalk. Avoiding the cracks, he carefully steps onto the porch of an apartment building. He nods to a man on a neighboring porch.
Why not? You're a good girl. And then we can...
Oh.
Melvin struggles with the door handle and the door swings open. He looks down at the entryway floor, where the tiny tiles are surrounded by hundreds of grouted spaces. Standing on the doormat, he leans forward to reach for an inner door, then stumbles and catches himself.
Christ.
He hurries inside, now in Carol's apartment. Carol holds a handful of ice in a washcloth as she heads to the door. She gapes at Melvin, who shifts on his feet.
I'm hungry. You've ruined my whole day. I haven't eaten.
What are you doing here?
This is not a sexist thing. If you were a waiter, I'd be saying...
Are you totally gone? This is my private home.
I'm trying to keep emotion out of this. Even though it's an important issue to me, and I have very strong feelings on the subject.
What subject? That I wasn't there to take crap from you and bring you eggs? Do you have any control over how creepy you allow yourself to get?
She raises her eyebrows at him, and he nods slightly.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, and to prove it, I have not gotten personal, and you have. Why aren't you at work? You sick? You don't look sick. Just tired and bitter.
My son is sick, okay?
She heads toward her kitchen sink, and Melvin takes a step inside.
About your mother?
How do you know about my mother?
I hear you talking while I wait.
Mommy, finish my juice.
I'm sorry, honey. One sec.
Melvin shifts uncomfortably as Spence wearily enters the kitchen, his blonde hair tousled. The boy looks from his mom to Melvin.
How you doing?
Carol nervously glances from Spence to Melvin. Spence stares blankly at the old man.
You should answer someone when they speak to you.
I'm sorry, Melvin. That's it. I cannot handle you teaching my son manners.
She shoves him out the door, then heads back to the kitchen.
Back to life.
As she takes out a pitcher from the refrigerator, Spence heads into the living room and gloomily plays with a plastic dinosaur toy.
Uh-oh. What's wrong?
Now, Spence holds a thermometer in his ear.
1,000, 4,000, 3,000, 2,000. Bingo.
They check the readout.
104.9.
We're gonna treat ourselves to a cab ride.
Now, school kids head down the sidewalk.
Look out, you guys!
Carol runs through them, holding Spence in her arms.
Look out, you guys! We're okay. We're okay.
She spots Melvin getting into a cab.
Melvin! Wait!
Grimacing, Melvin steps up on the sidewalk and watches Carol, followed by the school children.
Shut up, kids!
The kids stop in their tracks.
Give us a lift, would you, Melvin?
Carol struggles to open the taxi door. Melvin tries to help, but she opens it. Melvin looks at Spence.
Cover your mouth when you cough, kid.
Melvin closes the door and gets in the front seat.
Brooklyn Presbyterian Hospital, please, and quickly, please.
Okay. Hospital?
Yes.
Outside the hospital.
Any chance you'll be back at work today?
No! Stay away from me! Gone!
Melvin gets back in the cab. Now, in Simon's apartment, Jackie holds note cards.
Simon, we can't put this off any longer. I feel terrible that I have to...
Simon looks at Verdell.
Simon.
Huh?
Simon, could you just leave the dog for a second?
Verdell paces on a stuffed armchair.
Sorry. What are those cards?
Oh, Frank's idea. He thought I should have notes, so I did this right. Maintained focus, didn't get emotional, and tried not to terrify you.
Simon's eyes widen.
See, he's right. I need the cards.
The first card reads, Simon, you're broke. Jackie takes a deep breath.
Simon, you're broke. The medical bills are $61,000 now, and the show didn't go well. I've spoken to your parents. They didn't hang up or anything. But they said they would feel strange about calling you.
Well, I can't call them.
He looks at Verdell.
Come here, baby.
Verdell faces away
from
him.
Verdell, what's wrong? You miss the tough guy? Well, here I am, sweetheart. Happy to see me, a little pissant mop? How about another ride down the chute?
Verdell bows his head.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I did not mean that. I'm sorry.
Simon.
I didn't mean that, sweetheart.
Simon.
I'm sorry. I'll be able to keep my apartment in the studio, won't I?
Jackie flips through her cards.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow.
Now, Melvin sits at a desk, writing. He throws down his pen, takes off his glasses, and rubs his face. Sunlight highlights his features as he turns to a window behind him. Getting to his feet, he steps over to the window and stares through the open horizontal blinds. Now, in the reception area of a posh office, Melvin talks with a woman in a business dress. A young blonde receptionist watches them, twisting in the seat of her office chair.
Yes, you're right more than everybody else. Yes, you make us a lot of money. But I think it's more appropriate...
Look. I need this. Just say, Melvin, I'll try, okay?
Melvin, I'll try.
Thank you. That's good.
Now, on a pleasanter note, my son, he just got accepted to Brown. My husband was dying.
Good, nice, thrilled, exciting. You don't have to wait with me.
He shooes the woman away, and she storms off in a huff. As Melvin waits for the elevator, the receptionist smiles dreamily.
I can't resist. You usually move through here so quickly, and I just have so many questions I want to ask you. You have no idea what your work means to me.
What does it mean to you?
When somebody out there knows what it's like to be in here.
She touches her head and heart.
Oh, God, this is like a nightmare.
Oh, come on, just a couple of questions. How hard is that?
She runs around her desk toward him.
How do you write women so well?
I think of a man, and I take away reason and accountability.
Her smile fades and Melvin steps onto the elevator. He stands beside a businessman. As the doors slide closed, Melvin eyes the man and takes a step away. Now, Carol strolls down her street carrying a shopping bag. As she approaches her building, she spots a car parked on the street with the letters MD on the license plate.
MD.
Carol pulls her keys out of her pocket and runs to the door. Neighbors sitting on their porches watch with concern. Inside, a man in a suit stands in Spence's room.
In here, Mrs. Connolly.
What? Please, what? Just tell me.
I'm Martin.
What? Please, just tell me.
I'm Martin Betts, Dr. Betts.
Not your name! What are you telling me your name for? Where is he?
He's in the bathroom.
Hey.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Did you know there are doctors to come to your house?
No, I didn't.
I'm home!
So what are you doing here?
Well...
I didn't know that you had a secret of mine.
What?
Oh, you meant the gift.
Her mom smiles at Dr. Betts.
He's good. I'm an expert on doctors.
Okay, doctor.
My wife is Melvin Udall's publisher. She said I was to take excellent care of this little guy because you are urgently needed back at work. That's what she told me. What kind of work do you do?
I'm a waitress. In Manhattan.
Dr. Betts?
Yeah, Terry. Excuse me.
A nurse stands in the kitchen.
Hi, I'm sorry it took so long. I don't know Brooklyn.
I couldn't find it either. Could you get this to the lab? Tell them I need CBC, differential platelets, the whole thing.
Okay.
And I want it back today.
Okay.
Ha! I'm sorry. Did you say you're going to get the results back today?
Sure. What's it now?
Later, at the kitchen table.
These are the receipts from all the prescriptions from the beginning of the year.
The calendar?
Yeah. And this is a calendar of days and how he felt and what he's been
good.
Eating.
That's very good. How long has he had the problem?
Since forever.
Mm-hmm.
6 months old.
Okay. And have they done blood tests on him?
Yeah.
Only in the emergency room or when he was well?
Emergency room only.
Okay. And how about skin testing for allergies?
No.
No standard scratch test? They poke him with a needle?
No, I asked. They said my plan didn't cover it and that it wasn't necessary anyways. Why? Should they have?
Well...
HMO bastard pieces of... Carol.
She forces a smile.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Actually, I think that's their technical name.
So, once the tests come back, is there someone in your office we should talk to get the results, or,
Me. My home number's on the card.
He hands her a business card.
That's his home number?
What?
Oh, my God.
Carol's mom covers her face and Dr. Betts smiles.
Can we get you anything else? Do you want some water or some coffee?
No, thank you.
A couple of female slaves.
Mrs. Connolly, there's still a lot of tests I need to do, a lot of things I have to find out here. But look, whatever I find out, I promise you, at the very least, from now on, your son is going to feel a great deal better, okay?
Carol gazes at the doctor's kind face and smiles. Her mom folds her hands and rests her chin on them. Carol throws up her hands with a grin.
Doc.
She jumps out of her seat and hugs him.
No, fine, okay, that's good.
He receives the hug with an embarrassed smile. Mm-hmm. Carol touches his face, then sits back down.
So listen, you gotta let me know about the additional costs, one way or another.
Well, the costs are gonna be considerable, I'm afraid. But don't worry, Mr. Udall wants to be billed.
Carol frowns and leans back in her chair.
That's wonderful.
Now, in Simon's apartment, his housekeeper gives him a hug by the door.
Anyway, dear, thank you for everything, Nora. Forgive my recent crankiness. All things get back on track, okay?
She picks up a few bags and starts out the door.
Eccoli.
Huh? What's wrong?
Who's going to work that bill?
Oh, no.
She rolls her eyes toward Melvin's apartment.
No.
Now, Nora approaches Melvin's door. Inside, Melvin slides the cover off a peephole and looks through it. He hangs his head in exasperation and opens the door.
Is he dead yet?
No. Would there be any way that you would be willing to walk his dog for him?
Absolutely.
You're a wonderful man.
He grins bashfully, then quickly frowns again.
2 o'clock would be a good time, and here is the key in case he is asleep. Open his curtains for him so he can see God's beautiful work. And he'll know that even things like this happen for the best.
Where do they teach you to talk like this? In some Panama City sailor want a hump-hump bar? Or is this getaway day and your last shot at his whiskey? Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Nora stares at the closed door, then slowly walks off. Now at Carol's apartment.
No! There is a seriously goofy man behind this. You're not allowed to block out that man.
Do you really want to go back to emergency where those runt doctors keep telling us that they can't help?
This lets a crazy man into our lives.
Let's not fight. You know how this will turn out. Come on!
Carol stops in her tracks.
You know how this will turn out. This is not like stockings. It's not like a string of pearls. You don't send this one back.
Carol stares at her mom, then looks away.
Right?
Carol nods reluctantly. Now, Simon, index card that reads, friends to ask for money.
No, I do. I understand.
All right, listen, I gotta go.
Off the list.
No.
Carl is the eighth and last name.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
As Simon puts a hand to his mouth, Melvin enters with Verdell.
Come here. Maybe I'll bring him some food by.
Thank you for walking him.
Simon pushes himself away in his wheelchair.
If you'll excuse me, I'm not feeling so well.
This place smells condemned.
Go away.
What this cleaning lady doesn't...
Please just leave!
Melvin peers at him.
What happened to your queer party friends?
Get out of here!
Simon spins his chair around to face Melvin. His cheeks are red and streaked with tears.
Nothing worse than having to feel this way in front of you.
Nellie, you were a disgrace to depression.
Simon wheels toward him and glares.
Rot in hell, Melvin.
No need to stop being a lady. Quit worrying. You'll be back on your knees in no time.
Simon gets to his feet and whacks Melvin with his cast. Melvin stumbles backwards onto the couch. He stands and faces Simon.
Is this fun for you?
You lucky devil. It just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? I'm losing my apartment, Melvin. And Frank, he wants me to beg my parents, who haven't called me, for help. And I won't. And I don't want to paint anymore. So the life that I was trying for is over. The life that I had is gone, and I'm feeling so damn sorry for myself that it's difficult to breathe. It's high times for you, isn't it, Melvin? The gay neighbor is terrified. Terrified!
As Simon slumps onto the couch, Verdell looks back and forth between Melvin and Simon. Melvin stands awkwardly, then lowers himself into a chair.
I was just trying to give you a boost.
Lucky you. You're here for rock bottom. You absolute horror of a human being.
Melvin glares at him, then bows his head. He takes a deep breath and works his lips. He looks at his downtrodden neighbor and smiles.
The one thing I'll do for you, I might cheer you up.
Get out.
You want to know why the dog prefers me? It's not affection. It's a trick.
Melvin takes a small plastic bag out of his pocket.
I keep bacon in my pocket. See?
Simon takes the bacon and grins.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh? We'll both call him. You'll see. It's a trick.
He gives Simon a sidelong glance.
Okay.
Simon holds out a piece of bacon for Verdell and gives him a sly grin. Verdell glances at both men.
Come here, Verdell. Come here.
Beside him, Melvin motions to Verdell by pointing and jerking his head towards Simon.
Come on.
Melvin sticks his tongue in his cheek towards Simon.
Come here. Come here, baby.
No.
It's okay.
Verdell walks along the coffee table and climbs up on Melvin's chest.
Just stupid dog.
Simon looks to Melvin with tearful eyes.
Could you leave now? Please.
I don't get it.
Now, Carol stares ahead soberly. Moonlight illuminates her and the dark apartment. Wearing a satin nightgown, she gets out of bed and heads into the kitchen. She grabs a glass from a rack of drying dishes and fills it with water. Now, standing in the kitchen, she puts on a pair of jeans under her nightgown. Later, she sits on a city bus. Bright lights illuminate the inside of the bus as it drives down a dark highway. In the distance, lights dot the tall buildings of the New York City skyline. Now, rain pours down on the sidewalk as Carol gets off the bus. Raindrops dot her pale yellow t-shirt. Later, her clothes and hair drenched, Carol continues on without noticing. She drops a piece of paper and rushes back for it. Now, she reaches the front door of Melvin's apartment building. As Carol checks her piece of paper, a well-dressed woman opens the inner door and almost runs into her. The woman checks her over and raises her eyebrows as Carol enters the building. Now, on Melvin's floor, Carol gets off the elevator and looks around. Her soaking wet shirt clings to her breasts, revealing her nipples. Inside his apartment, Melvin watches TV.
Again with Nick at Night's classic TV.
Melvin checks his watch and steps over to the door. His hair sticks straight up.
That might not really be Major Healy in the phone booth after all. Classic TV.
Mr. Udall?
Melvin leans in toward the door.
Carol, the waitress?
Yes.
Melvin reaches for the locks. As the door swings open, Carol looks down and notices her breasts. She quickly pulls the wet shirt away from her before Melvin sees.
The doctors gave me your billing address. I'm sorry about the hour.
He looks down at her soaking wet shoes.
Melvin
gestures for her to come inside, but she stays in the hall clutching her shirt. He turns off the TV.
If you're worried about thanking me...
That's not why I'm here. Though you have no idea what it's like to have a real conversation with a doctor about Spencer.
Note.
put it in the note.
He brings her a towel. As he's about to put it at her feet, she takes it and covers her chest.
I have a hair dryer.
Why did you do this for me?
So you'd come back to work and wait on me.
Do you have some idea how strange that sounds? I'm worried you did this
As Carol tries to speak, Melvin leans in closer, his eyes darting quizzically. Carol stands still, clutching the towel to her chest.
Are you waiting for me to say something?
She shakes her head.
Look, I'll be at the restaurant tomorrow.
I don't think this can wait until tomorrow. I need to clear this up now.
Clear what up?
I'm not going to sleep with you. I will never sleep with you. Never, ever. Not ever.
Melvin bows his head.
Well, I'm sorry, but, we don't open for the no sex oaths until 9 a.m.
I'm not kidding.
Anything else?
She shakes her head.
Thank you.
She hands him his towel and walks off with her arms folded across her chest.
So you'll be at work tomorrow.
In the hallway, Carol stops and nods to Melvin.
Yes.
She forces a smile and leaves. Now in a bedroom, a digital clock reads 3:22. Beside the bed, a pair of moccasin slippers sit side by side. Melvin's hand hangs over the edge of the bed above them.
Never, she says. Never, she says.
Now his feet dangle. Pointing his toes, he touches the floor on either side of the slippers, then slides his feet in. Now in Simon's apartment. Simon opens the door. Melvin stands before him in his bathrobe and carries a large paper cup.
Took a chance you were up. I brought you some Chinese soup.
Thanks.
Using a cane, Simon slowly hobbles to a nearby bench. Melvin follows him inside and closes the door behind them. He sets the container of soup beside Simon and sits on the bench with him.
Why? Never been this tired in my life. I haven't been sleeping. I've been clearing my head. Never felt like myself. Trouble. It's not just the tiredness. Boy.
Sick. Nauseous.
Sleepy.
Her everything looks distorted and everything inside just kind of aches and you can barely find the will to complain.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I'm glad we did this.
Melvin gets to his feet.
Good talking to you.
Simon gapes. He puts a hand to his mouth and looks around. Now, at Carol's apartment, she writes a note. The number 23 is written in the corner.
You are not still writing that thank you note.
I'm on the last page. How do you spell conscience?
C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Look, I got Sean from the bakery to babysit so we could go out.
I still don't feel safe leaving Spencer with someone. Could you spell it again, please?
Spencer's okay. You better start finding something else to do with your free time. Sean, are you hungry?
Yes.
All right. We got pizza. Carol and I are going out. Sausage pepperoni. You want to make this later for you and Spencer?
Great.
We are going out like people do. If you can't feel good about this break and step out a little. Then I think you ought to have Mr. Udall send you over a psychiatrist.
I don't need one, because I know what's really going on here. I gotta finish this letter or I'll go nuts.
Carol?
This can't be right. Con science?
Carol?
Her mom sits down beside Carol and looks at her with a concerned gaze.
What?
Carol looks up from her letter with pained eyes. Her mother cocks her head expectantly. Tears stream down Carol's face.
It's very weird. I'm not feeling that stupid panic thing inside me all the time. Without that, I just start thinking about myself and what good does that ever get anybody? Today on the bus, there was this adorable couple, and I felt myself giving him a dirty look. I just had no idea everything was...
She motions vaguely with her hands. Her mother shakes her head quizzically.
Go ahead.
Moving in the wrong direction. Away from a time when I remembered what it was like to have a man to anything. Old King. Hands with, for Christ's sake. And I felt almost really bad that Dr. Betts is married. Which is probably why I make poor Spencer hug me more than he wants to. Poor kid doesn't have enough problems he has to make up for his mom not getting any. Who needs these thoughts?
So, what are you saying? That you're frustrated?
Leave me be! Why are you doing this? What is it you want? I hope getting me thinking about everything that's wrong when all I want to do is not do that has some purpose. Really, Mom, what is it you want? What?
I want us to go out.
Carol stares at her mother, then looks down, her cheeks glistening with tears.
Okay.
The sidewalk. Carol and her mother walk the crowded street, exchanging glances. Carol clutches her mom's coat sleeve, pulls herself closer, and kisses her on the cheek. At a restaurant door, Carol kisses the back of her head.
Thank you. Now I gotta send you a thank you note.
Among the patrons, an elderly woman recognizes Carol's mom.
And a giant gel weight
home.
Morning in Melvin's booth.
That's why you brought me here. That's really why you brought me here.
Well, you know, it's not even mine. This guy Simon seems to have enough on his mind. But the dog did throw up twice last night. I mean, spark is off.
Well, take him to the vet.
I did. They say his stomach's out of whack. And they need him for a couple of days.
Well, do it. What if...
Carol brings breakfast.
Sorry.
Excuse me. This is for later.
What's this?
It's a thick envelope.
It's a note.
Melvin holds it up.
A note?
Carol smiles.
Yeah, it's a thank you note.
Thank you note? No.
You can read it later.
No, thank you. No, thank you, no.
He hands it back.
Thank you.
Frank rolls his eyes. Gaping in amazement, Carol leaves with the envelope. Frank raises his eyebrows.
She's nice.
Yeah.
Real nice, huh?
Really nice.
Gazing toward Carol, Melvin shakes his head.
Shouldn't that be a good thing, telling somebody no thanks required?
Sure looks like it went over, too.
Grinning, Frank playfully hits Melvin's shoulder.
I mean, look at you. You're sure making the rounds. Simon says you brought him soup last night.
Melvin arches an eyebrow at Frank, then tosses his napkin down.
What?
Look at you. You think I'm a mark.
You help with the dog, now there's other things. Hey, I'm as concerned about Simon as you are.
Concerned?
It's not just financial assistance.
Hey.
He's got to get to Baltimore to ask his parents for money tomorrow.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, if his parents are alive, I mean, they have to help. It's the rules. Good. That's great.
Absolutely.
Let them help him.
Frank's smile fades.
Only, I got a high-maintenance selling painter coming through, so I'm out.
He glances at Melvin.
Can you drive him?
Melvin stares back.
Think white and get serious.
Take my car, convertible.
Chuckling, Melvin looks away.
Do you drive?
Like the wind. But I'm not doing it.
Getting loud. Getting loud.
Carol serves their toast. Frank grins.
Wants me to take his car and his client to Baltimore.
I want your life for 1 minute where my big problem is somebody offers me a free convertible so I can get out of this city.
She hurries off. Melvin's brow furrows. Frank slaps the table in delight.
Go ahead, girl. Okay, I'll do it. I'll take him. Yeah, get him ready, packed tomorrow morning. I'll take him. Fine. Okay. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Let's not drag this out. We don't enjoy one another that much.
As Melvin grinds pepper on his eggs, Frank stands and buttons his jacket.
If there is some mental health foundation that raises money for people like you, please, be sure to let me know.
He heads out.
Last word, freak.
Bye-bye.
Good luck, lady.
Carol does a double take at Frank.
So anything else?
She approaches Melvin's table.
Yeah.
She arches her eyebrows.
I'm going to give my queer neighbor a lift to Baltimore.
Carol cocks her head.
Okay.
Hey.
She stops and turns.
What I did for you, it's working out?
Carol stares blankly at him.
What you did changed my life.
As he nods, she reaches for her letter.
No. No thank you note.
Well, part of what I said in this entire history of my life, which you won't read, is that somehow you have done more for my mother, my son, and me than anybody else ever has.
Carol leans on the table.
I'm just going to read you this part of it.
She leafs through the pages.
And that makes you the most important, surprising, generous person I ever met in my life. And that you're going to be in our prayers, our daily prayers forever.
Melvin shakes his head.
Lovely.
She turns to another page.
I also wrote one part. I'm just going to say, I wrote I'm sorry.
He wipes his brow and smiles.
I was talking about I was sorry when I got mad at you for when you came over and you told my son that he ought to answer back. So I wrote that I was sorry about that, and that I wrote I was sorry for busting you on that, and I'm sorry for busting in on you that night when I said I was never...
He lifts his eyebrows.
I was sorry, and I'm sorry for every time your food was cold and that you had to wait 2 seconds for a coffee filler, and I'm sorry for never spotting right there at the table in the restaurant the human being that had it in him to do this thing for us.
She glances up from the pages.
I'm just going to start from the beginning. I have not been able to express my gratefulness to you. Even as I look at the word grateful now, it doesn't begin to tell you what I feel.
As Melvin squirms, Carol looks over the letter. She looks up at him.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
Carol nods.
Thank you.
Melvin nods back. Their eyes meet. Then Carol steps back from his table. Carol gathers the loose pages together.
Now I want you to do something for me.
Carol raises her eyes suspiciously. Melvin grins. As she continues to stare, his smile vanishes.
I'm sorry. Didn't I say what? I thought I said what.
She lifts her eyebrows and studies his expression.
What?
I want you to go on this trip.
No, sir.
I can't do this without you. I'm afraid he might pull the stiff one eye on me. I need you to chaperone. Separate everything but cars. You said you like convertibles. Now I'm on the hook.
I'm sorry. The stiff one eye?
2 days.
I can't. I work.
You get off when you want to.
My son.
Bet said he's doing fine.
Melvin, I'd rather not.
What has that got to do with it?
Funny, I thought it was a strong point.
Write a note, ain't she sweet? I need a hand, and where'd she go?
Are you saying accepting your help obligates me?
Is there any other way to see it?
She stares at him incredulously.
No.
Now, at home, Carol struggles to reach a suitcase from a closet shelf.
Here's a little suitcase.
She drags it down.
Shocked that it's being used.
As Beverly lies reading on the bed, Carol lays the suitcase next to her and opens it. She grabs some underwear from a dresser drawer, then stares at the two handfuls.
There's no way to pack for this trip.
Meanwhile, in his bedroom, Melvin checks a clipboard as he adds two boxes of film to the meticulously laid out travel items on his bed. He carefully arranges the film boxes next to four rolled pairs of socks, then answers the phone. Carol winces with the phone to her ear.
Hello?
You're still coming, aren't you?
Yes.
Smiling, he throws his head back.
Melvin, I would like to know exactly where we are going.
Just south of Baltimore, Maryland, and I know what you're going to say next. I mean, I think I know. I'm not sure. I think so.
There's no need for me to bring anything dressy.
He looks around in confusion.
I mean, I didn't know if we were going to be eating in any restaurants that have dress codes.
Well, maybe. Yes, let's.
Okay, gotcha.
He nods.
What did you think I was going to ask?
Whether crabs were in season there now.
Oh, okay then. Good night.
Now, in a waiting room, one woman sits with a tiny dog in her lap while another strokes a huge dog.
Anything unusual on the dog's diet?
Melvin talks to a vet.
No. Everybody gets their own cage?
Certainly.
Okay, put him in with that one.
The tiny
Not
dog.
That one. Builds his confidence, huh?
Okay.
Now, at the bus stop, Carol kisses Spencer goodbye, leaving him with Beverly.
I love you. I'll miss you.
The bus doors close on her.
Real sensitive.
Bye.
Call me when you get settled.
As she hurries to grab a seat, Carol waves out the window. As the bus moves on, Spencer runs down the sidewalk alongside it.
Don't worry, Mom. Have a good time.
No, don't run.
Have fun,
but don't run.
While Carol waves, the bus speeds past the running boy. Now, Melvin packs the trunk of the convertible.
Sorry I'm not taking you myself, son.
So am I, Frank.
Melvin looks up.
Give me a hug.
Frank kisses Simon on the cheek and hugs him.
Everything's gonna be okay, all right?
Yeah.
Soak it up.
Frank looks at Melvin.
It's your last chance for a hug for a few days.
Frank walks away, wagging his finger. Carol approaches with her suitcase and garment bag.
Hello?
As Simon turns and stares blankly at her, Carol walks over to Melvin.
Hi.
Melvin beams.
Hi. Thank you for being on time.
Carol leans in, peering at Simon.
Hi.
Carol the waitress, Simon the fag.
Simon shifts on his feet.
Hello?
Her head cranes forward.
Holy God, who did that to you?
Simon glances away nervously.
I was attacked. I walked in on some men robbing me, and I was hospitalized.
Simon lifts his chin proudly.
I almost died.
Let's do the small talk in the car. Let's go.
Simon walks to the car using his cane. Carol drops one bag in the trunk.
Oh, I was going to do that for you.
It's all right. Where should we sit?
There's no place cards or anything.
It's all right. Maybe you'd need all the room you can manage. In the back.
Simon gets in the passenger side. Carol puts another bag in the back, pushes the driver's seat forward, and climbs in. Melvin tosses another bag past her, then scurries back and closes the trunk.
Never a break. Never.
I'm sorry. Thank you for the seat. That was very thoughtful.
Oh. You look like you're crowded in there.
Oh, it's all right.
After starting the engine, Melvin moves his seat forward.
Thanks.
He continues moving the seat forward until the steering wheel presses against his belly. Carol and Simon's eyes widen.
Thank you.
Melvin cranes his neck toward Carol.
You
You're welcome.
Carol eyes him curiously as they pull onto the busy street.
I've got the whole trip programmed.
Melvin reaches forward.
Y-M-C.
Simon and Carol
flinch.
I'm
just kidding. I wanted to see what you'd do.
Carol smiles wryly.
No. Seriously. We got good stuff here.
Wearing leather driving gloves, Melvin takes a CD labeled To Use as Icebreaker. Simon works his jaw and gazes out the window. Carol smiles, inclining her head to the beat.
I like this music.
Melvin beams and glances towards Simon.
I like this music.
Melvin turns and nods. Carol glances around at the city as they ride. Simon gazes solemnly ahead. Later, on a highway in the country.
Well, I'm looking for my girl.
Now Carol drives and Melvin sits in back.
Yes, I'm sure, Simon, they did something really off for you to feel this way. But when it comes to your parents or your kid, something will always be off for you unless you set it straight. And maybe this thing happened to you just to give you a chance to do that.
Nonsense. And you want to know why?
Anybody here is interested in what Melvin has to say, raise their hand.
Simon quickly drops his hands to his lap. Melvin leans back in the seat, tight-lipped. Carol and Simon smile.
You want to know what happened with my parents?
Yes.
When I was a kid...
Wait. I'm going to pull over, give you my full attention.
She pulls to a stop by the side of the road.
Well, I always painted. And my mother always encouraged it. I mean, she was sort of fabulous about it, actually. And she used to, you know, I was too young to think that there was anything wrong with it. And she was very natural. So she used to pose nude for me.
Melvin lifts an eyebrow.
And I always thought, or I guess I assumed, that my father knew about it.
This stuff is pointless.
Hey! Let him finish, please.
You like sad stories? You want to hear mine?
Stop.
Carol gives Simon a reassuring nod.
Go ahead, really. Please don't let him stop you.
One day he walked in and he found us and he started screaming.
My father didn't come out of his room for 11 years. He used to hit me on the hands with a yardstick if I made a mistake playing the piano.
Carol glances at Simon.
Huh?
Melvin pulls up his sunglasses.
Go ahead, Simon. So you said he came in your room and he was yelling?
Uh-huh.
Please, come on.
Melvin leans back, his mouth gaping open.
He was...
Come on.
Yeah, no, I remember I was defending my mother and I was trying to, make peace in the lamest way. I said, I said, she's not naked. It's art.
Carol grins.
And he started hitting me.
Melvin eyes Simon.
And he beat me unconscious. And he talked to me less and less after that. I mean, he knew what I was before I did. And the morning that I left for college, he walked into my room. And he held out his hand. And it was filled with money. A big, sweaty wad of money. And he said, I don't want you to ever come back. And I just grabbed him and I hugged him. And he turned and walked out.
Carol presses her hand to her mouth, kisses her fingers, then places the hand tenderly on Simon's cheek. Melvin watches from the back seat.
Hey, we all have these terrible stories to get over, and you...
It's not true. Some of us have great stories, pretty stories, that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. Just no one in this car, but a lot of people. That's their story. Good times, noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but that you're that pissed that so many others had it good.
No, I don't think so.
Not it at all, really.
Not it at all, huh?
Simon shakes his head.
Okay.
Melvin waves them onward.
Let's go to the hotel, and tomorrow you'll see if you can get another big wad of sweaty money out of his hand.
Later, in a hotel room, Simon lifts his suitcase onto a bench, then rubs his injured arm. Melvin walks in as Simon opens the suitcase.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Simon rolls his eyes, then grins.
Sure.
Melvin shifts on his feet.
Ever get an erection over a woman?
Simon reels around.
Melvin.
I mean, wouldn't your life be easier if you weren't?
You consider your life easy?
All right. I give you that.
Simon shrugs. Melvin looks around him at his open suitcase.
Nice packing.
Pulling the phone to her ear, Carol checks out her room's view.
Whoa.
She gazes at a marina filled with yachts.
Hi.
Hey, Spence.
Hey, Mom. Wait here.
Why are you out of breath?
Mom, I ran over a guy and scored a goal.
You did?
Yeah, he was big. Charlie, you know.
That's great.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah. Mom, we're playing again. Gotta go.
No, no,
bye.
Wait, just tell me.
Oh. He scored a goal.
Mom, I don't believe it.
Oh, you would have died.
Carol bursts into Simon's room.
My son was outside playing soccer. Come on, take me out for a good time. Take me out dancing.
Dancing?
I can't. I'm exhausted.
Oh, come on.
No.
Please come on.
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Melvin cocks his eyebrow.
All right. You're right.
Yeah.
Are you sad or something?
No. I'm nervous. It would be very rough, Carol, if you weren't along.
What a nice compliment.
Melvin grins and wags his head sarcastically as Carol gives Simon an affectionate peck on the lips. As Melvin throws him another glance, Carol shares a gaze with Simon, then turns to Melvin. Grinning, she holds her hands out at her side.
I'm happy.
Melvin smiles and nods.
And you're my date.
She points to Melvin and his smile fades.
Let's get dressed.
She goes to her bedroom and closes the door behind her.
Melvin
fumbles with a road map and faces the closed doors.
I'm gonna jump in the shower.
Okay.
I'll be right with you.
Okay.
He turns to go, hesitates a moment, then heads to the shower. Later, Carol enters wearing a stylish red dress and shoes, carrying a matching shawl. She glances toward the bathroom, then finally takes a seat in an elegant upholstered chair. Later, still waiting, Carol sits with her chin resting on her hand. Still later, stretched back in the chair, she props up her head with one arm. The bathroom door opens and a cloud of steam wafts out. Melvin emerges in an open neck shirt.
All set?
Here.
Carol stands. Melvin fans away the steam, now at the marina.
Do you sell hard shell crabs?
Yes.
Melvin and Carol walk past outdoor tables at a fancy restaurant. Nearby, a wedding party crosses a gangway from a boat. Other elegantly dressed guests stroll in from the sidewalk.
Do they sell hard shells?
Yes.
Thank you.
Inside, a tuxedoed maitre d' smiles
Good
at the
evening.
Couple.
Hi. You have hard shells, right?
Stop asking everyone.
Just him, that's all. Okay, you can answer. We worked it out.
Yes, we do. Oh, and I can give you a tie and jacket.
What?
Oh, they require a tie and jacket, but we have some available.
As the maitre d' leaves, Melvin gapes. They glance around the dining room. On a dance floor, couples dance to a small combo. The maitre d' returns with a red sports coat and tie.
Sir?
Melvin eyes it and grimaces.
No, I'm not putting that on. And in case you were going to ask, I'm also not going to let you inject me with the plague either.
It's such a nice place. You probably have these dry cleaned all the time, don't you?
Actually, I don't think so.
Carol's smile freezes. She shrugs at Melvin. He waves her toward the tables and edges to the door.
Wait here. Excuse me.
Melvin maneuvers out, leaving Carol staring after him. Now, with the top up, the convertible speeds down a city street. Melvin parks and walks to a men's clothing shop.
Good evening.
Melvin looks down at the store's tiled entryway and stops.
I need a coat and tie.
Well, come on in.
No.
The salesman stares at him.
No.
Melvin points.
That one.
This one.
That one, yeah. And this tie.
Now, back at the marina, Melvin hurries toward the restaurant wearing the new blue jacket and patterned tie. He peels off one driving glove and pockets it before going in.
Excuse me?
Inside, he presents himself to the maitre d', who nods approval.
She's here.
He points to the bar.
We saved a table for you.
Oh, thanks.
Should I get her for you?
No, it's all right. I'll just watch.
As Melvin ambles past the tables, he takes off his other glove. Carol chats with a man at the bar.
Oh, this is funny. No, thank you.
Melvin smiles as he walks slowly toward the bar, his eyes glued on Carol. Bouncing lightly to the music, Carol turns and watches the singer. She sips her cocktail, then sees Melvin approaching in his new outfit. Her eyes widen. Melvin swaggers easily toward her. She sets down her drink, presses her palm to her chest, and waves to him. Melvin flashes a toothy grin and waves back, then motions her toward him. Picking up her drink and clutch bag, she leaves the bar stool. A waiter walks over and holds out a small round tray.
Ma'am?
Hmm?
Oh.
She sets down her drink on the tray and continues on toward Melvin. The waiter follows her.
Oh, wait.
She returns to the bar stool to fetch her shawl. The waiter turns and trots along behind. She smiles over her shoulder at him, then mouths, "My drink is following me," to Melvin, and gestures with her thumb. Melvin nods. Passing the dance floor, Carol pivots. The waiter follows. She walks the other direction, watching the waiter trail behind her. She starts to her left, then her right. The waiter scurries to keep up. She playfully twirls, and Melvin grins in delight. Carol gapes at him.
You look so...
As she looks him over, his face grows serious.
You look, great.
Melvin grins proudly.
You look great.
As she starts to sit, Melvin pulls out her chair for her. Carol sips her drink and grins up at her date.
You want to dance?
Well, I've been thinking about that since you brought it up before.
And?
No.
Halfway out of her chair, she sits back down.
I don't get this place. They make me buy a new outfit. They let you in a house dress. I don't get it.
She stands and gathers her things.
What? Wait, well, no, wait, why? Where are you going? Why? I mean, no, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, you gotta sit down. You can still give me the dirty look. Just sit down and give it to me.
Pay me a compliment, Melvin. I need one. Quick. You have no idea how much what you just said hurt my feelings.
The moment someone gets that they need you, they threaten to walk out.
A compliment is something nice about somebody else.
This is a request from June and...
Now or never.
Okay.
He lifts his hand and waves it down, gesturing her to sit. Carol slowly complies, then glares across the table at him.
And mean it.
Melvin grits his teeth and furrows his brow. He looks away and brushes his fingers across his forehead. He rubs his hands together, then squints at Carol.
Can we order first?
Carol nods.
Okay.
Melvin spies a waiter across the room.
Two hard shell crab dinners, pitcher ice cold beer.
Carol hides her face.
Baked or fries?
She turns away, then looks back up.
Fries.
One baked, one fried.
I'll tell your waiter.
Melvin nods agreeably.
Waiter. Okay. Now, I got a real great compliment for you, and it's true.
I'm so afraid you're about to say something awful.
Don't be pessimistic. It's not your style. Okay. Here I go. Clearly a mistake. I've got this, what, ailment?
Carol eyes him calmly. He breaks into a grin.
My doctor, a shrink that I used to go to all the time, he
says that in 50 or 60% of the cases, a pill really helps. I hate pills. Very dangerous thing, pills. Hate. I'm using the word hate here. About pills. Hate. My compliment is, that night when you came over and told me that you would never...
Carol grimaces and flicks her hand.
All right, well, you were there. You know what you said. Well, my compliment to you is, the next morning, I started taking the pills.
She leans toward him with a questioning grin.
I don't quite get how that's a compliment for me.
With his eyes lowered, Melvin sways in his chair and bites his lip.
You make me want to be a better man.
Carol's gaze freezes on Melvin, her brown eyes searching his face. Melvin tilts his head and scrutinizes Carol.
That's maybe the best compliment of my life.
Melvin grins and snaps his fingers. Carol smiles back.
Well, maybe I overshot a little because I was aiming at just enough to keep you from walking out.
Melvin rubs his hand across his lips and shakes his head. He takes in a breath and sighs in relief. Carol drops her eyes to the table and fingers the floral centerpiece.
How's it going with those pills? Good, I hope, I hope, I hope.
Little by little. It's exhausting talking like this. Exhausting.
As Melvin plunges his head into his hands, Carol pensively looks away. She licks her lips and returns her focus as Melvin slaps his palms against his forehead. Carol slides carefully from her chair to the chair next to him. She leans in close.
Do you ever let a romantic moment make you do something you know is stupid?
Never.
She presses closer.
Here's the trouble with never.
She kisses him on the mouth, her hands holding his face. Melvin's hand hesitantly fumbles at his side, then gently glides over her auburn curls. Melvin's tongue explores the taste left on his lips. A warm smile spreads across their faces.
You don't owe me that.
That wasn't payment.
Her eyes sparkle.
When you first came into breakfast, when I first saw you, I thought you were handsome.
He casts her a surprised look.
Then, of course, you spoke.
They share a bemused grin.
So now that your soft little underbelly's all exposed, tell me, why did you bring me here?
Lips trembling, Melvin avoids her gaze, then meets it.
Why?
He shakes his head shyly.
I have a personal question.
Tell me, even if you're scared.
Scared?
Tell me why you wanted me here. It's okay. If you ask me, I'll say yes.
Well, I there's a lot of reasons. I thought, one thought, maybe if you had sex with Simon, maybe it would...
What?
Carol gapes.
Well, it's just one, it's one idea.
That's why you brought me? Like I'm a what? And I owe you what?
I don't know why I brought you. It was just one thought that I had. It came out first. That was all there was to it. I thought, you kiss him, me, when you two seemed to hit it off. I didn't mean... Forget what I said about Simon.
Never forget you said it.
It's a mistake.
She collects her things.
It was a mistake.
Customers at a nearby table watch as Carol leaves the restaurant. Melvin hangs his head. Simon holds the phone to his ear.
We're sorry to be unable to take your call right now. Please leave a message with all the pertinent information.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And thank you.
It's Simon. I'm in town.
He shifts awkwardly.
Hello? Folks, you haven't been out later than 10 o'clock in your entire lives. Please pick up the phone.
Simon forces a smile.
Really?
His smile fades and his brow furrows.
Okay, well, I'm going to try you in the morning. I need to see you, or at least get you to answer the phone.
Simon replaces the receiver. Now, Carol storms in the front door and marches directly into Simon's part of the suite. He turns, his mouth hanging open.
How are you?
Is this going to be your room?
Our room. I don't want to see him, and he's not going to come knocking on your door.
What
Simon
happened?
Starts to remove his T-shirt.
Don't ask.
Carol roughly yanks it off over his arm cast.
Can you not be so violent?
I don't think so. Do you need help?
No.
As she starts to undo his pants, he holds his good hand out in protest.
Taking a big bath and ordering a big meal. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Undoing his belt, he shrugs.
Don't ask. I'm tired of my own complaints. I gotta get some new thoughts.
Why? What are you thinking about?
How to die, mostly.
She heads toward the bathroom.
Can you believe in our little mix? You're the good roommate?
As Carol heads for the bath, Simon puts on a blue pajama top over his boxers. He sits on the bed, then pulls up the covers, struggling stiffly with his injured arm. His cane rests against the nightstand. He reaches for the light switch.
Good night.
Good night.
He shifts on the pillow, then settles on his back. He turns onto his left side, facing the bathroom, then closes his eyes. He opens them, blinks, and fixes his gaze in Carol's direction. As his gaze intensifies, the soft amber light reflects on his face. His blue eyes locked on Carol, he slowly lifts his head. Our view circles around to his viewpoint. With the warm overhead light shining on her shoulders and back, Carol candidly sits wrapped in a towel on the edge of the tub with her back to him. As she reaches to put up her hair, the towel drops to her hips, exposing her torso and the side of her breast.
Hold it.
Simon pushes back the covers. As Carol fastens her hair into a bun with hairpins, Simon pulls out his sketch pad and moves to the edge of his bed. His eyes wide with fascination, he flicks on a light. Carol turns suddenly toward the light and modestly pulls the towel up, covering her torso.
I have to draw you.
Huh?
She gapes and turns off the water.
I have to draw you.
No. Absolutely not. I'm a lot more shy than people think. I give off the wrong impression.
I have to. I haven't sketched anything in weeks.
Stop staring. Do a vase.
But you're beautiful, Carol. Your skin, your long neck.
She stretches her neck.
The back, the line of you.
Carol smiles, the soft light illuminating her profile.
You're why cavemen chiseled on walls.
Carol glances at Simon, and her mouth lifts into a smile.
All right, cut me a break.
As Simon's injured arm works the pencil, Carol tests the water's warmth. She holds the towel in front of her with one hand, while the other glides from the faucet to the small of her back. She slides down the towel, exposing the base of her spine. Simon grins, and she glances back over her shoulder, smiling. Now, a bartender listens to Melvin.
The next thing I know, she's sitting right there next to me. Well, it's not right to go into details. I got nervous. I screwed up. I said the wrong thing.
With a bowl of nuts before him, Melvin taps the bar.
Or if I hadn't, I could be in bed right now with a woman who, if you make her laugh, you got a life.
He shakes his head and stares off.
Said I'm here with you.
He looks at the bartender.
No offense, but a moron pushing the last legal drug.
The barkeep's mouth hangs open.
Jameson, soda bag.
Now in the hotel room, Carol lies nude on the bed.
I'm sorry, I don't care how you put this. We're being naughty here, pal.
No, this is great. This is so great.
As Simon works on a sketch, other drawings lie strewn across the bed.
Hold it.
It's just turning.
But then hold
the pencil
back.
Drawings show the nude blood. Carol
okay,
smiling.
It doesn't matter. I can't get over my hands not even bothering me. I can't get the angle with this cast.
Simon rips the hard plaster away from his fingers and wrist.
Careful.
He flings aside the piece of cast.
Ah!
As they grin at each other, a man's hand yanks a privacy tag from the doorknob.
coming in. It's late.
Melvin pushes open the door to Simon's room. Simon sits in a hotel bathrobe at the breakfast table.
Did you have sex with her?
Okay, so you sure you don't want your shampoos or anything?
Also wearing a robe, Carol enters with a plate full of toiletry items.
Sorry.
She dumps them into her purse.
I didn't know she was still here. Did you have sex with her?
To hell with sex. It was better than sex. We held each other.
Melvin's eyes widen.
What I need, he gave me. Great.
I'll get dressed in a hurry.
On her way out, Carol ruffles Simon's hair affectionately. Smiling, Simon taps the table with his fist.
Just love her.
As Simon chomps a piece of bacon, Melvin's eyes follow Carol, then fix on the pile of sketches.
How you doing?
Melvin opens his mouth, then closes it. He turns and leaves. Meanwhile, at the bathroom sink, Carol gathers soap and shampoo, then grabs a box of tissues. Later, Simon talks on the phone.
Hello?
Mom? Hi.
Hello, Simon. You're right. We were home last night.
Do you have to whisper? I can barely hear you.
I'm not a screamer. Look, the reason...
No. It was the luckiest thing for all of us. She didn't answer last night.
Father has not been feeling well.
No, I can't hear you.
Late to start with the whole thing.
Carrying her garment bag, Carol brushes past Melvin.
Where are you going?
I get why you're angry with me, but it's no snap to...
He's talking to his parents.
Okay, then you listen to me. Mm-hmm. Truly no grudges, okay? Truly. I mean, it was a little odd that you didn't come and see me when you heard that I was hurt, but...
Almost did.
No, I don't even want to talk about it. The important thing is that your son is happy.
But you do sound different.
Yes, I'm working again.
About money?
No, I don't need anything.
Oh.
I'll drop you a line from wherever I land, and then it's up to you to make the next move, and I hope that you do.
And he's going to want to stay. And they'll want to take a ride to the lake or whatever, and, you know...
Okay, bye-bye.
He's going to feel stirred up.
Bye, Mom.
Yeah. So we'll probably have a good 5-hour drive. It'll give us a chance to relax and be together alone.
I'm coming with you.
Well, what about your parents?
No. I'll take care of myself.
What are you talking about? You got real problems.
I know. I'm a little bit nervous. Suddenly everything seems so easy.
Both men look at Carol.
Carol, a load has been lifted.
Oh. One night with me.
You think you're kidding?
Melvin walks out. Later, at a gas station.
Oh, jeez. No choice.
I got a gift for you.
Nothing like no choice to make you feel at home.
Carol hands Simon a cap.
Let me see. Oh, gorgeous.
Do it then, and get the dog picked up. I can't believe you let it stay there.
Melvin hangs up the payphone.
Goodbye.
He gives Simon a thumbs down.
Your luck's running.
He gets in the driver's seat.
They sublet your place. You're homeless.
Simon nods.
Frank's got to line another place you can use for now.
Another place where?
Melvin looks over at him.
Does it matter?
Simon reflects a moment.
No.
Melvin does a double take.
It doesn't.
They smile.
We're fine. Like that?
Simon strikes a pose.
I'm sorry.
Simon gives Melvin a friendly pat. Melvin recoils, then grins. Melvin watches Carol smile in the rearview mirror as he starts the engine. Now he opens the glove compartment and pulls out a CD labeled For Emergency Only. The convertible, with its top down, turns around in the gas station lot, then pulls onto the city street.
I love you.
Carol leans over the seat to talk into Melvin's ear.
I don't want to hear that music right now.
What do you mean? You said you liked it.
I don't.
Carol sits back. Simon stares ahead.
This one has a meaning.
It's your car, but I don't want to hear it. If that means anything.
Simon grits his teeth. Melvin reaches over to the CD player.
I love you.
Later, at night, the convertible parks in front of Simon and Melvin's apartment building. Carol stomps to the trunk and gets her bags. Melvin assists the limping Simon to the door.
Yes, sir. All right. Here's the keys to my apartment. You go up there and wait, and I'm going to take Carol home.
I'll take a bus.
No, I'll take you.
Carol turns around and carries her bags back toward the two men, then motions to Melvin with her head.
Can you come here? Look, I don't care what you did for me.
What's wrong?
I don't think I want to know you anymore. All you do is make me feel bad about myself.
She walks to Simon and gives him a hug.
You have my number.
Melvin watches, then averts his eyes.
Let him take you home.
Don't want to.
She picks up her bags.
I love you.
Love you too.
Carol leaves. As Melvin sadly watches, she marches down the street with her bags. Melvin shakes his head and turns to Simon.
Don't say anything.
Now, Melvin opens his apartment door and Simon follows him in.
Yeah, look, I gotta get a hold of Frank and see where I'm hanging my hat.
Well, I think you're gonna have to camp it here.
What are you talking about?
Verdell scampers out.
Look at you, sweetheart. Look at you.
I don't see you.
You feel like your old self again, don't you? I know the feeling. Mommy and Daddy are home.
Simon kisses Verdell as Melvin glares.
Yeah, this is fun to mess with.
They rented your place furnished. Jackie said she was going to bring your personal things. They were going to set you up in here. It's an extra room. I never use it. It's got good light. No other choice, really.
I'm coming.
Verdell leads Simon into the extra room. Simon gapes.
Nice. It's looks good.
A vase of fresh flowers sit beside the
music,
bed.
Music, paintings, paints. Have to say they did a good job.
Melvin motions around the room.
Yeah, it's gonna be okay, huh? Cozy, huh?
Yeah.
Simon nods as Melvin shyly looks away. His eyes glistening, Simon looks at him fondly.
Thank you, Melvin.
Melvin looks up.
You overwhelm me.
Melvin sighs with a proud smile. Simon gazes at him, nodding slowly.
I love you.
Melvin turns and shakes his head wistfully.
I tell you, buddy, I'd be the luckiest guy alive if that did it for me.
Simon grins. Melvin frowns pensively at the floor, then turns to leave.
Well,
he hesitantly puts his hand on Simon's shoulder.
Make yourself at home.
Melvin ambles off. Now at Carol's place.
Anything else in the back?
Carol pulls out a soccer ball.
But I was playing soccer when you were away.
I know. I love my cookbook.
Great. It's got all these wonderful recipes in here. It's just something sharp. I never even fixed shark before. Shark with a bite. Would you like that, Spencer?
Yeah.
There's some cookies here called Wasp's Nest.
Now, Verdell lies on Melvin's bed.
Where is my big hairy boy?
Melvin rolls over.
Where is she?
Melvin sits up nervously.
Where is my beautiful boy?
Sweetheart.
Simon enters in his robe and pajamas.
Oh. You're in bed.
Hello.
Melvin, I just didn't think Verdell should get too comfortable sleeping in here.
Well, look.
Because it's really not going to...
Dog's already comfortable.
Simon gets the phone.
Is this okay?
Melvin shrugs.
Hello? Hi, it's me. Hi. Yes. He took me in. Yes. It's Carol for you. Yes.
Well, Jackie, okay, just my typically fainted just when I walked
take the
in
dog.
There and Jackie done.
Take the dog.
Okay, I gotta go.
Just take the dog.
Oh, come here.
That's right. Take him. All
right. Come on, move fast. Don't let him move fast. Come on.
Good luck.
Melvin closes the door behind Simon and Verdell, then runs back to the phone. He carefully slicks back his hair, then reaches for the receiver. On her end, Carol grimaces.
Hello?
Carol lies on her bed.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Not so hot.
Why? What's wrong?
I don't know whether I'm being sensible or hard on you.
Maybe both. Maybe.
See, right there, I don't know whether you're being cute or crazy now.
cute.
You don't have to answer everything I say. Just listen to me, okay? Listen to me.
She holds the phone to her chest.
It's really something that you're looking after, Simon. And what I said on the street, that was a bad thing to say. And it made me sick to my stomach. It was a bad thing to say. And I'd be lying if I didn't say I enjoy your company.
Melvin looks puzzled.
But the truth is, you do bother me enormously. And I know that I think that it's better for me to not have contact with you because you're not ready. And you're a pretty old guy to not be ready. And I'm too old to ignore that. But there were extraordinary kindnesses that did take place.
Melvin stands frozen. Carol purses her lips and arches her eyebrows.
So anyway, thanks for the trip.
Melvin's head sways back and forth.
Good night. Good night.
Okay if I say something now?
Carol clenches her hand into a fist and freezes.
Go ahead.
Melvin shakes his head and frowns.
I should have danced with you.
Carol raises her hand to her face, then squints and drops it.
Good night.
She nervously twitches her fingers.
Good night.
Carol hangs up. Melvin holds the phone to his ear for a moment, then hangs up. He sits on the bed, clenching his teeth, then smooths his hair back and charges out the door. Snapping on the light, he marches to the middle of the living room.
Are you going to talk to me or not?
I'm coming.
As Simon puts aside a sketch, Melvin paces angrily into the kitchen, yanks open the refrigerator, and takes out a bottle of water. Simon smiles expectantly.
What'd she say?
That I'm a great guy. Extraordinary. And she doesn't want contact with me.
As Melvin storms to the sofa, Simon gapes.
I'm dying here.
He sits and takes a swig of water.
Because you love her.
Melvin shakes his head.
No.
He turns quickly.
And you people are supposed to be sensitive and sharp?
Then you tell me why. You're the one who's dying here.
I don't know. Let me sleep on it.
Oh, come on.
I'll figure it out.
Oh, please.
It's, I'm stuck. I can't get back to my own life.
Simon sits on the arm of the couch.
She's evicted me from my life.
Did you really like it that much?
Well, it's better than this. Look, you, I'm very intelligent. If you're gonna give me hope, you gotta do better than you're doing. I mean, if you can't be at least mildly interesting, then shut the hell up. I mean, I'm drowning here, and you're describing the water.
Well, picking on me won't help.
Melvin starts out, then halts and turns.
Well, if that's true, I'm really in trouble.
But, Melvin, do you know where you're lucky?
Melvin frowns and shakes his head. Simon limps closer.
You know who you want.
Melvin squints and gapes.
I would take your seat any day.
So do something about it.
Go over there. Now, tonight. Don't sleep on it. I mean, it's not always good to let things calm down. You can do this, Melvin. You can do this. You can. Pull the stops. Tell her how you feel. You can do this. You can do this.
Oh, hey, I'm charged to you.
Yes, you are.
She might kill me if I go over
there. Well, then get in your jammies and I'll read you a story. Listen, I really think you have a chance here. I mean, the best thing you have going for you is your willingness to humiliate yourself. So go over there, do this, catch her off guard.
Melvin wets his lips and ponders, then nods.
Okay.
Okay.
He smiles at Simon.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Melvin shrugs and heads off.
There you go.
Verdell trots in, eyeing Melvin. At the door, Melvin pauses and stares fixedly at the doorknobs.
What's wrong?
Melvin slowly turns.
Forgot to lock the door.
Simon nods. Melvin smiles as he stares at the lock, then opens the door and leaves. Now, Melvin strides up the steps of Carol's building. Pausing on the landing, he strokes his chin and looks about. He checks his watch, then tugs the cuff of his sweater over it. He quickly opens the door and stretches his arms across the tiles to the buzzer. In her bed, Carol looks up from a magazine. Slowly, she closes it, gets out of bed, and goes to the open window in her nightgown. Looking out, she sees Frank's convertible and pulls away, frowning. Down on the landing, Melvin shuffles his feet, idly shaking his black and white saddle shoe. Sucking his teeth, he reluctantly heads off, loosely swinging his hands by his sides. He descends the brick steps, then gets to the third step down. He spins around and scurries back up the stairs. Carol comes out of her door. He stumbles as he rushes up the stairwell.
What do you want, Melvin?
I'm sorry I woke you. I wasn't asleep.
Starting back down the stairs, he stops, turns, and smiles.
What a break.
He heads back upstairs.
Is it a secret what you're doing here?
He stands on the stairs, chuckling and shaking his head.
I had to see you.
Listening behind the door, Beverly thumps her heart. Carol stares at Melvin.
Because?
Melvin sighs and shrugs.
Relaxes me.
Carol's mouth lifts into a smile.
I'd feel better sitting outside your apartment on the curb than any other place I can think of or imagine. No, wait. That's overstating. I'd rather be sitting inside on the steps, because I don't want to get my feet in the gutter. What would that serve?
Stop it! Why can't I just have a normal boyfriend? Why? Just a regular boyfriend who doesn't go nuts on me.
Everybody wants that, dear. It doesn't exist.
Carol glares at her mother with confusion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Huh. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Beverly goes back inside the apartment. With half-closed eyes, Melvin ponders.
Boyfriend.
He walks solidly up to Carol's door. Carol strides in front of him.
Come on in and try not to ruin everything by being you.
He smiles good-naturedly.
Maybe we could live without the wisecracks.
As Carol looks into his eyes, her face softens.
Maybe we could.
Carol opens the door, and Melvin follows her to the threshold. Carol glances back at him over her shoulder, then goes inside. Melvin eyes the floor with a wry smile and takes short, careful steps. In the kitchen, Carol grabs a tea kettle and takes it to the faucet.
It feels a little confined in here. Let's take a walk.
Carol smiles and shakes her head.
See, it's 4 a.m. Walk sounds a little screwy to me. If you don't mind.
Well, if you need an excuse, there's a bakery on the corner. We got a good shot it'll be open soon. That way we're not screwy. Just 2 people that like warm rolls.
She stares at him, then gives a quick nod.
Okay.
Carol puts down the kettle. At the doorway, she pulls on a scruffy gray sweater over her nightgown and pulls the door shut behind her. Now, the couple walk along the empty sidewalk. Carol still in bedroom slippers.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I still want you to hear part of that car song.
You don't have...
Melvin avoids the cracks. She turns toward him as they walk.
And, darling, I'm never lonely. Whenever you're in sight.
They share a smile.
Thank you.
Grinning, Melvin focuses on the pavement.
You know, I was...
As Carol walks along the bricked sidewalk, Melvin walks along the curb, intently watching his feet. He slows to a stop, glancing at her from the corner of his eye, then flashes an apologetic grin. Carol just stares.
I'm sorry.
She holds out her hands.
Whatever this is not going to work.
He hangs his head, then takes short, tentative steps across a square of pavement toward her.
What?
I'm
feeling better, Carol.
Melvin, even though it may seem that way now, you don't know me all that well. I'm not the answer for you.
Hey, I've got a great compliment for you.
You know what? I can be around.
Just let me talk. Just...
Carol stands patiently. He struggles for words.
I might be the only person on the face of the earth that knows you're the greatest woman on earth. I might be the only one who appreciates how amazing you are in every single thing that you do. And how you are with Spence. And in every single thought that you have, and how you say what you mean, and how you almost always mean something that's all about being straight and good. And I think most people miss that about you. And I watch them wondering how they can watch you bring their food and clear their tables and never get that they just met the greatest woman alive. And the fact that I get it makes me feel good about me.
Carol beams at Melvin, then drops her gaze. Melvin grits his teeth and struggles to continue.
Is that something that it's bad for you to be around? For you?
Carol brushes back a wisp of hair blowing against her cheek and drops her eyes. She hesitates, then looks up and arches her eyebrows.
No.
She smiles and Melvin grins back.
I'm gonna grab you. I didn't mean for that to be a question. I'm gonna grab you.
He pulls her close and presses his lips to hers, then freezes as she kisses him back. He pulls back abruptly from the kiss. Carol stretches out her cheeks and gives him a polite smile. Shifting on his feet, Melvin stares intently back.
I know I can do better than that.
Oh, Bella.
As he lunges forward and plants another kiss, Carol's arms tightly embrace him. The two stand locked together, their arms wrapped tightly around each other. As a breeze ruffles Carol's hair, they sway gently back and forth. They pull out of the kiss, still gripped in an embrace. Melvin lets out a sigh of relief.
Better. Definitely better.
He glances dizzily about. Carol's cheeks are wet with tears. Stepping onto the bricked sidewalk, they continue hand in hand toward the bakery, casting long shadows under the streetlights. As they pass the door, the lights in the bakery flicker on.
Oh. Mom rolls.
They turn back, arms around each other's waist. At the door, a woman with a broom edges past.
Excuse us.
As they wait to enter, Melvin looks down and notices his foot on the bricked sidewalk. Carol goes inside and Melvin follows her in.
Ah.
They lean on the glass covering the baker's wares, and Carol points out a roll to a clerk. We fade to black.